Are you ready? Turn with you in your Bibles to Galatians 6 and verse 6. Galatians 6 and verse 6. And let's go. Let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. That's in your face, isn't it? Then it goes on to say, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. Now, I've got this in the Amplified. And if you think that wasn't loud enough, listen to this. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God would not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions, or by his precepts being set aside. So, by his precepts being set aside. So God's not going to be mocked by somebody setting his precepts aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever man sows, that and that only is what he'll reap. You know, it's an interesting section here when you look at it, because when the scripture says, do not be deceived, you can guarantee this is the area that Satan wants to deceive you. And why? Because he comes to deceive Christians, because if he can deceive you in this area, then you will see your blessing pass you by. You'll see it, but it'll pass you by. How many have seen opportunities and things pass them by in their lifetime? Why didn't I get in on that when that happened? Why didn't I act on that? And this is what people will see. They'll see the blessing coming, but it passes them by because they've been deceived in this area. And that's why the scripture says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. You're actually seeing other people be blessed. And it's always like you're trying to catch up to what's happening because there's something working against you. And verse 8 goes on and says, for he who sows to his flesh. So he who sows to his flesh. This means when you sow to your flesh, you're consuming the seed yourself, or choosing to withhold money on purpose for your own benefits or for your own things. That's what it is. And so when somebody chooses to withhold and not sow away from themselves, saying, oh, you know, I'm going to spend it on myself and my family or whatever it is, they delude themselves. And it goes on to say, will of the flesh reap corruption? So if you sow to your own flesh, you'll reap corruption, which means decay, ruin, and destruction. But he who sows the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So when we sow to the Spirit, it's important to understand that sowing to the Spirit, don't be deceived in this area, because some people have told me, well, if I'm sowing to the Spirit, that means I'm sowing supernatural things. No, it's sowing money. This scripture is about finances. But people come and tell me, no, sowing the Spirit means I'm going to do something spiritual. The most spiritual thing we can do is sow finances. This is the most important thing when it comes to scripture. If you want to walk into an area of faith and an area of supernatural release, it's with finances. And it's the most important thing that dogs people all through their life is financial areas. It's so important that we understand that this is nothing else but income and money. That's what it's talking about. So the area of deception is going to come, and it's going to come to you to want to withhold. And it's going to come to you and say, well, if you give that, you're not going to have enough. But what about what I'm doing in my life? What about the needs that I have? And, you know, I've even had some Christians say to me, well, look, you know, I don't give all my money into the church because I really want to delegate that over to here. I want to be benevolent to this area. Well, that's what your offering is for. But your tithe says, bring it into the storehouse. Let's continue. Let's look at that. Micah 3:10. Bring all the stores into the storehouse, or tithes in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it. God has put in place a storehouse. And for whatever reason, this is your storehouse. If you come and you're fed, this is your storehouse. This is where you put your finances into so the blessing comes back. If you want to sow an offering somewhere, do it. That's up to you. You can lend to the poor. You can do all sorts of things with your finances. Now, back to Galatians 6 and verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. It's a very important passage this year because so many people give up without their harvest coming in. They get tired. They say, it's not working for me. And exactly what it's not. It's not working for you because you're declaring it's not working. Every time you say, it's not working for me, you've actually sown something that to a negative area. It says here, do not give up. Do not lose heart. The reason is because the harvest is always delayed. So don't give up before your harvest comes. Don't give up when it gets tough because the enemy is going to throw everything he can at you to get you to a place where you're tired and weary and say, well, it's not going to work, so I'm going to just withhold this right now. And you find that you're slipping back down the stream again. So let's continue. Whatever you do not grow weary giving your tithes and offerings. And at every opportunity, do good. And that's what it talks about, doing good. And especially to those who are of the household of faith, it says. I can tell you that Living Word Church is the household of faith for you. This is where you're going to get your faith. Comes by hearing. You know, there's this very special anointing on Living Word Church. And if I was to take you through all the prophetic words over this church regarding finances, it would almost spin your head around. You know, the Holy Spirit said to us only 2 years ago, said, you're growing a church of mighty warriors they're going to get a massive revelation for all your church of their offering and tithes, and they're going to be so hungry to give, that you're going to see a massive breakthrough in the area of finances. Now that means, let me tell you, I've been in churches where it's almost that the pastor is speaking this out so he can get income. No, the principle here is I'm teaching so you can get abundance. So it comes into your hands. This is just a storehouse. And it goes on to say a lot of businesses around your church actually are having a hunger to want to partner with you. The reason is that because they can see the blessing in the church. They can see the abundance coming in and they want to get involved in that. How many people want to get involved in a business opportunity that's on the ground floor, is going upwards? And if only I would have got involved in investing in Apple or investing in this stock or that stock when it was so cheap to get involved. No, you've got an opportunity right now to get involved in the kingdom of God's return. And it is an amazing return that he gives you. And, you know, the best you can think about in some of the businesses might be 10%. Well, the minimum here is 100-fold. Let me tell you, you're not going to get any opportunity like that anywhere else. It's in the kingdom of God. And he says there's going to be a revival of people and also finances, and you're going to be able to even send people and pay for more staff to be able to help out the work within the church and see revival come. It's all linked to money. I don't know why, but it is. It seems to be linked to finances. You get the financial issues correct, and everything else comes in. Because what's happened, people are beginning to trust God. And what I said last week was the reason why people don't trust God is because they're not tithers. And the Holy Spirit doesn't come and convict you about tithing. He convicts you about trusting God. See, it's a trust issue. The evidence is you don't tithe or you don't give. But the real issue is I don't trust God that he can supply my needs. Because right now, it's my boss who does that, or it's this employer, or that the government that hands out the money. No, you're going to find out today that God is your supplier. He is your supplier. Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith it's impossible to please him. Yeah, it's impossible to please him without faith. So if we don't trust God in our financial area, you're not pleasing God. It doesn't say without faith God's not going to think too highly of you. Now, we know from what I've been teaching that it doesn't matter what you do, God loves you. It doesn't matter because God is love. It's not an option for him to love you. He just loves you. But when Jesus came and was baptized, we saw that the heavens were open and God had to declare, "This is my beloved son." So we know he loved him. But then he went a step further. "In him I'm well pleased." Well pleased means he had full of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So God responds to faith to say he's pleased with you. He loves you. I want to tell you, he loves you, but I want to be God be pleased with me responding to my faith. So when you sow away from yourself, you must believe that God is a rewarder. And he wants to reward faith. Or he wants to reward the faith of the giver, actually. So I want you to get ready for your reward. It's so important that you get ready for your reward. God is about to reward you. If you do not lose heart, you have to give in response to what God does. In fact, it's not in your responsibility what happens to the money. Your responsibility is to give. I'm responsible for what happens to money. God's made me accountable. I'll stand before him and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Or, "Well done, good and full of faith servant. You've trusted me with your finances. And I brought the blessing as a result of that." Heavenly Father, right now we thank you for every giver today. Lord, that you would command the blessing, you would open the windows of heaven, Lord, upon their household. This we pray in your wonderful name. Amen. We're going to get ready for the Word of God this morning. The message today is no other name. And no other name, and that name that we know, Jesus, Yahweh, Yahweh, it's no other name. Hey, we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 33. And I did I mentioned this last week, but I want to start off from Exodus 33 and verse 18. And this is Moses speaking, he says, and he said, "Please show me your glory." And Moses had got to a place where he had communed with God, but he just wanted so much more. And I trust that's the place you're at, Lord, show me your glory. And then he said, "I'll make my goodness pass before you, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you." So in the name of the Lord, there's so much power. There's so much glory in the name of the Lord. So what he was going to do was just proclaim the name of the Lord to him. And in that name, the glory and the goodness was going to be so powerful. So I want us to understand that there's so much power in the name of the Lord. "And I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion." And I said, His name can do anything that he can do. He has put as much power in his name that he carried when he's on the earth. And Philippians 2 and verse 9 says this, "And therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name." Yes. So God has highly exalted Jesus and he's given him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh, every knee shall bow. Those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth. So it's referring to, there's not one being or not one thing that's got a name that will not bow its knee to that name. I said last week, that includes scoliosis, includes cancer.
Yes, yes.
It includes everything that's got a name has to bow its name to that name. When you take that name and you declare it on those names, they have to bow their knee. They have to give away. They've got to surrender to the name that's above every name. We said that's the name of the Creator whose name is unpronounceable. And it's represented by the letters YHVH, which is Yadhave Vahed. And it's unpronounceable. So that's sort of the name that we've made up to the unpronounceable name of God. But when God declared that to Moses, glory of heaven just accompanied it. So much glory with that name. You know, the names of God, and the scripture gives us names of God. And we know him as Elohim, which is the name of the Godhead. He declared that in Genesis 1:1. Jehovah is the covenant name of God. So he made a covenant with man, and his name was Jehovah for that. El Shaddai, my supply, my nourishment. Adoni, which is Master Lord. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. My provider. Jehovah Rapha. And we spoke about this maybe in December or November, I can't remember, where he's our healer. God, my healer. He wants to be your healer. He wants to be your physician. So instead of running to the doctor, doctor, give me the news, we want to go to God and say, give me the good news. That's what it is. But the first thing that many Christians do is down to the doctor. And we know he's only practicing. Well, our healer, he's the Creator. So he created you. He can heal you. So if he's created you, he knows every minute detail of every cell and everything in your body, and come to him and say, Lord, fix it. You made it. You paid for it in full. Take what's rightfully yours. Your healing is rightfully yours. Paid in full. There's not one more payment to be made on your healing. It's there. And it's sitting, waiting for you to make a demand on it and take it out of the unseen realm into the seen realm right now. Jehovah Nissi, my victory. Oh, and you won't read all of them. There's so many names of God. Jehovah Shalom, my peace, my fullness. Jehovah Tishkaboth, God of hosts. Jehovah Shammai, he is there, he is present. You know, there's so many names of God, and the one name that we didn't mention there is love. God is love. He says it. He is love. So that's his name. That's a precious name that he has. He's love. You know, Proverbs 18 verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. So in the name of the Lord, there is like a strong tower where there's sanctuary, there's protection, there's, you're hidden in that name. So if you can understand that and hide yourself in that name, there's protection, there's healing, there's everything in that name of God. So you just go to those names. And he's left that, his name in the earth for us. So there is a hiding place in the name of the Lord, Yadhei Vahed. And how you get into that, and how you stay into that hiding place is the walk of love that we've been talking about. That walk of love. And refuse, no matter what, to get out of love and get into the flesh. And there's plenty of opportunities. I can, every day I will come, there'll be an opportunity for you to get out of love and get into flesh. You've got to wake up in the morning and flick the news on, and you'll find there's an opportunity. Get rid of those things that are going to... Every time you pick up the phone, there's an opportunity, you know, to get back into the flesh. It comes all the time. You know, and I would dare say, because this message will go out on the internet as well, and there'll be people that will start to get offside with what I said 5 minutes ago about tithing. All they want is your money. I've heard that so many times. I've heard that from so many people. I talked about the Lord, and they come to me, oh, I don't go to church anymore. All they want is my money. All they want is that. And what's happened, that the God of this age has blinded their eyes. Where all they hear is money. That's what the church wants. But God wants to give you money. They don't hear the good news. They only hear through the filter what the enemy's put there of their own lack, their only mistrust, and they feel that God wants to take their money. He's a giver. God does he take things. He's a giver. And so the enemy will come to try and bring things and twist it, and so it's to a place where you're out of sorts and out of that love walk again, thinking that church, all it wants is my money. No. God wants to put an abundance and a blessing, and the way we do is stay in that love walk, stay in that line and don't get off that, and refuse to get out of it. Don't get offside and fight with other people, especially of those who are in the household of faith. You've got to know who's behind every attack that comes in the form of somebody. Just a side note here, according to Ephesians 6 and verse 12, and you know this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So you don't wrestle with people. The only thing you wrestle with, apart from principalities and powers, is your own flesh. And I'll tell you, you need to dominate your own flesh if you want to keep in the love walk. So there is a wrestle you have to do, and I tell you, it's an ongoing wrestle. Every time you see something or something, say something, your flesh wants to rise up, so the only wrestling you need to do is get that flesh down under control. Put it back into its place. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27 in the Amplified says this, but like a boxer, I buffet my body, I handle it roughly, discipline it by hardship, and subdue it. For the fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved and rejected as a counterfeit. That's what Paul said about his flesh. So he would wrestle with that thing. He would put it down. He would take control on it. He said he'll buffet it like a boxer, smack it into the chops every now and then. Because when it rises up, that's what we've got to do. We've got to bash it back down, because your own flesh, which consists of your body and also your mind, will, and emotions, wants to dominate you. It wants to dominate you. It will tell you you're so tired. It will tell you all sorts of things. It'll tell you don't feel very good. It will tell you all the negative things to dominate, to get your spirit man down, to keep you in a place where you feel discouraged. It will tell you you're getting too old. It will tell you leave that for younger people. It will tell you you're losing your mind, you're losing control. These are the lies that your mind, will, and emotions will do. And that's why Paul said, I buffet that thing. I buffet. The word calls it the carnal man. That's what it calls it. The carnal man. And we have to be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. See, our spirit man needs to control our desires of the flesh. See, our spirit man has to take control. And the only way you do it is you meditate on the word, so your spirit man can have preeminence and can speak it out and can control what's happening in your body. And let me tell you, the things that are happening in your flesh are real. But do not listen to that. Listen to what the truth says. And they'll come out and they'll tell you all the time. But you've got to declare what the word of God says over your life. See, everything that Jesus can do, his name can do. And we read this passage last week. I want to cover it again. It's Acts 3. See how I'm going for time. Mickey says it's 10:30, so Mickey Mouse, so we'll keep going. That's my Mickey Mouse watch. I don't know why I got it on that, but it's there. So Acts 3. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, and they laid him daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with Peter, John and Peter, said, "Look at us." So he gave his attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So remember, he hadn't prayed for him at all. No prayer. That's what he said. "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles received their strength. Now, I don't know about you, that's pretty bold. Can you imagine the shock and horror from the people around? Peter and John walking up to a lame person. "Get up!" Pulling out by his hand. I mean, everyone would have said, "Leave the poor guy alone." You know? Yeah, leave him alone. That's the natural thinking. Leave him alone. But faith doesn't do that. Faith calls into action what's about to happen. And that's what they said. We've got the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, there's all power that you need. So in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. They didn't say, "In the name of Peter," or "the name of John." No. Not at all. "In the name of Jesus." Amen. See, there's all power, there's all authority in that name. The only power and authority you've got is in that name. Don't rely upon your own name. Use the name that's above every name. You've got it. It's yours to give. So he received strength in his ankle bones and received strength. So he leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they're filled with wonder and amazement of what had happened. Now, I want to show you the result of what Peter is preaching in the temple. And this is what he said. So down to verse 16. And he says, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know." So Peter declared, that's because of the name of Jesus and faith in that name. Faith in his name. Do you know, he didn't say once, faith in Jesus. He said, faith in that name. Faith in that name has made that man strong. He's given the strength to walk again. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. See, the name of Jesus is as powerful as Jesus is. And you know that Jesus said that he couldn't do anything by his own strength. Only what he saw the Father do. And we know that the Father was in him. So he went, what was in him, the strength of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. That's who did the work. And John 14:10 says this, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the work." That's right. So it was the Father dwelling in Jesus that did the work. So who's the Father dwelling in Jesus? It's the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that dwelt in him. It was the same Spirit that came into Mary and put the seed from God. In one sense, you could say the Holy Spirit was his Father. He brought the seed. The Father in him. The Father in him. He declared all the way, "The Father in me." The Heavenly Father is in heaven, but the Father in him was the Spirit of the Father dwelling in him. Is was a spirit that dwelt in him. And in the same spirit that dwelt him is the same spirit that empowers the name of Jesus. The same spirit did the miracles when Jesus was on the earth. It's the same spirit that empowers the name of Jesus. You've got to realize that same spirit. As Peter preached in Acts 3, that the man who was healed from through faith in his name. You know, when I was preparing this, I was reminded again of Mark 5. And the woman that had the issue of blood, and she kept saying in her heart, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. It indicates that she was kept saying this thing. If only I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. So when she came up behind Jesus in the crowd and touched him, Jesus did not know anything about it. He didn't know about it. He had no forewarning by the Spirit about this. The only thing he knew was that power or virtue had gone out of him. He sensed there was power and virtue switched on and flowed out of him. And Jesus turned around and asked, who touched me? His disciples replied, you see the multitudes thronging you and you say, who touched me? It was almost like a joke for them. Come on, Jesus. You know that everyone's pushing in to get close to you and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So she got her healing by her faith in Jesus alone. And it was the Father dwelling in him that did the miracle. Jesus was going along to another destination. He was going to Jairus' house. That's where he's going to. But the Father in him responded to faith. So Jesus didn't respond at all. He was just walking to do something else that he knew that he was supposed to do. But faith came up, faith in Jesus, and made a demand on that, independent of what Jesus was thinking. Independent. See, the Holy Spirit that was the Father dwelling in him gives strength to your mortal body. It's the same one that backs up someone who's believing the name of Jesus and declaring it in faith when they heal. That's the same one that backs up those things. Mark 16 and verse 17 says, and these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. So these signs shall follow those who believe. Then it goes on to say, in my name they'll cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, they'll drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. See, for those who believe in the name of Jesus, by faith in the name, they will cast out demons. By faith in the name, they'll speak with new tongues. By faith in the name, they'll take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, we won't hurt them. By faith in that name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. See, it's having faith in that name. It's having faith in that name. That's the way. It's through the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus that brings you the power and the authority. It doesn't say by the faith in your praying. It doesn't say praying a particular way. It just says faith in the name of Jesus. Believe that God has empowered that name to do what Jesus could have done if he was here on the earth. Jesus could be here on the earth, could be walking around, and he would have said the same thing. I can't do anything by myself. After all, Jesus was a man of like passions, of like things like you and I, subject to the same things, but the only difference was he had the power of the Father in him. And so when the Father said to do this, he did it. And he kept saying, I can't do anything by my own strength. By my own strength. You can't do anything by your own strength. Don't come to me to be your healer. Don't wait for some evangelist to be your healer or some special thing. No, it's the name of Jesus. It's the power that backs up that name. The glory of God, when he declared that name to Moses, that glory that was manifest is the power that will heal. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for the Spirit of God in that name. You know, but prayer is the principal thing. I want to just mention that for a moment. I'm not sort of saying that it's all about declaring the name. Prayer is the principal thing. It is so important. But most people get too quick to pray. And they just scatter their prayers out. And they throw a few verses hoping that something might stick. You know, if I say this whole group of things, if I pray that certain way, something's going to happen. Something will stick. And somewhere there'll be some evidence happening there. And they might keep crying, "Help me, Lord, help me, help me," or whatever they do. Now, if it's an emergency situation, don't even rely upon your natural language when you're going to pray, because you don't know how to pray. If somebody's having a heart attack or some emergency situation, don't go in your natural language. Start speaking and praying in tongues. Let the Spirit do the work. Prayer is important. You don't know anything else to do, just pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. So important. Start your day in prayer. Pray an hour. Pray an hour in the Spirit. Make it a habit in your life that you get in the area where he can intercede on behalf of you. Because when you pray in the Spirit, it says that he makes intercession for you. Praying is so important. And we know that Jesus prayed all night. So let me tell you, prayer is important. It's a principle. Underlying thing in our life is prayer. Use faith, hope, and most of all love when you pray. And it says in Mark 11, 24, believe that you receive when you pray. But if you have anything against somebody, forgive them that the Father in heaven may also forgive you. So praying is so important, but praying according to love is the principal thing here. To stay in that love, make sure you've got nothing against anybody, because the verse references and speaks about this area. It says, if you've got something against somebody else, God's not going to forgive you. So if you're not forgiven, he won't hear you what you're saying. We've got to get this love walk correct in our lives. And it's a fight that goes on day in, day out to stay in love. The scripture also makes it very plain that when you pray in the Spirit, pray that you may also interpret. And you should be conscious of this all the time when you're praying the Holy Spirit. Praying, Lord, what are you saying? Give me understanding. But when you're in the emergency situation, just go for it in tongues. Don't even think about using natural language. And don't stop until you have the breakthrough. I didn't say feel the breakthrough. Because when you feel things, they deceive you. Go until you sense in your spirit you got the breakthrough. See, feelings in your body is different. But when you know it in your spirit, there's a peace that comes. And let the peace be your portion. And the peace is the fruit of the Spirit. We'll touch on this in maybe weeks to come. Pray through in the Spirit. And don't pray out of your mind. Don't pray out of what's in here. You can pray out of the mind of Christ, but don't pray out of your natural mind. Practice these things every day until it becomes natural for you to do it. Yes. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Your mind here is subject to what comes in your eyes, in your ears, what you see, what you feel. So get praying in the mind of the Spirit. That's just a side thing. Now back over to Acts chapter 4. So in Acts chapter 4 we see, now as verse 1, now as they spoke in the temple, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men that came to be about 5,000. As a result of that one miracle, 4,000 came to know the Lord. Silver and gold have we not. What we've got, give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. 4,000 people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they believed on him as a result of that. That was pretty spectacular. That was a result of believing and faith in the name. And verse 5, and it came to pass on the next day that the rulers and the elders and the scribes, as well as Ananias the high priest, Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had sat down in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there any salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So this was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This wasn't a prepared message. This wasn't something that Peter got, you know, aside and got the scrolls out and went through them to try and find something. He was put in captivity, and under the power of the Holy Spirit, this is what the Holy Spirit declared about the name. No other name. There's no other name under heaven that men will be saved. This is it. There's power in that name. So what's in a name? Ephesians 3 and verse 14 says this, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Do you know that we've been given a name and we are now partakers of everything that that name will do? We've been named by the same name. The same name has been given to us. And it goes on in verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, we can't get away from that, can we? We can't get away from that being rooted and grounded in love. You know, the love walk is so important. And in Mark 4 and verse 16, Jesus, remember, taught on the seed stone that was sown on stony ground. And it says there in verse 16, in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who hear the word and receive it and accept it with joy and welcome it. So that's great. This means we're talking to Christians who accept the word with joy. There's a bit of a, whoo, this is a great message. We've accepted with joy. And it's verse 17. And they have no real root in themselves. They're not grounded in love. There's no root. They're not grounded in love. So they're letting the issues come. And so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended and become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they will stumble and fall away because they've got no root. They're not walking the love walk. Because I can guarantee you that things come. Stuff will come. Offenses will come. It says they'll be offended. The reason they're offended, they're not walking in love. They're letting what's happening in their natural life, in their body, in their mind, will, and emotion, their flesh, rise up. And they're not putting it back under control. There's no root. And they says they stumble away. See, if you're not rooted and grounded in love, you're easily, and it says immediately, offended. The love walk is so important to get it right, and it's critical for your success as a child of God. So back to Ephesians 3 and verse 18. That may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and depth, lesser length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, again back on the love walk, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. See, the love walk will fill you with the fullness of God. If you are walking that love walk, you are hidden in Christ. He's hidden in the Father. Remember, the enemy cannot see you if you're there. Not only that, if you're hidden in Him, you're filled with the fullness of Him. Because there's nothing of you anymore. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. So the fullness of God can be manifest in you, because all people can see is the love of Jesus. All I can see is that. The Holy Spirit is able to do exceeding above all you can ask or think. And that's what verse 30 says. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What's that power working in us? It's the love of God. It's the name of the Lord. It's working in us. Working in us. So He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask. Now, I can ask a lot of things, but it goes on, all you can think of. I can guarantee I could ask a few people today what great things you'd like the Lord to do. What do you want Him to do in your life? Well, it's above that. Not only above that, it's exceedingly above that. So if you can think of something really amazing for God to do in life, it's way above that. All that you can ask or think, way above that, according to the power that works in us. That power is the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 62 and verse 2 says this: the Gentiles see your righteousness, and the kings your glory. You should be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. So there's a new name. There's a new name that He gives you. You know, when I asked Susan Aspey, does anyone know Susan Aspey? Okay. Well, when I asked her to marry me around about 44 years ago, she gave up her name and took on my name. And as a result, she has much right to our assets as I do. She got as same rights as I got to it. First thing she did, she drove my car. And she pranked it. But it was hers. Yeah, it was hers. So she can sign for things with her name, and it carries the same weight as my name, because we're one. You know, when we got married, she didn't come up to me and say, well, look, Michael, I want to hyphenate the name now, and I want to have this name Susan Aspey Smorcombe, because that would actually mean that she's only half committed to this marriage. She wants to keep some of her own life in that relationship. You know, if I'm only half committed, it means it's not going to be so hard to bail out on this thing. And that's what we've got in this world today, that people are sort of saying, well, I'm half committed to this. But see, in marriage, there's spiritual implications that get involved in that. And if we're not coming together under the marriage covenant and we're only half committed to it, it's like, well, you know, it's only going to work. It's only got a 10-year life, this thing. And then I've got my name still there. No. God didn't decide to give you half of His name. He gave you His name. All. You know, it's the same when, you know, it's even worse when people talk about prenuptial agreements. You know, that's creeping even into the church today, prenuptials. And what they're saying is that, you know, if you're signing a prenup before you're getting married, it means that as a guy, you're not really committed to this thing. And all you want is just legal sex. That's all it is, a prenuptial, because you're not giving everything. You're holding things back. They might be married by the world standards, but now so are homosexuals. I can tell you a prenuptial agreement is not marriage. And spiritually, you're not married because you haven't given, you haven't taken on the name, you haven't come together under that and the power that comes in that name. Marriage should be an unbreakable covenant between a man and woman and God. And it says there, the two should become one flesh and one name. That's the way it has. That's the way God designed it. But no, I want to keep my name. And we're seeing a generation that's coming up that they want to hang on to their name because they're not really fully committed to these things. But God says, no, I want you to take on the name of Yahweh. Yad-Heh-Vad-Heh. I want you to have that name. And when you understand that you've been named with that name, how dare you commit it to something else? No, don't be joined to anything else. Don't be joined unequally to something else. You know, because of Jesus, you have the right to be called children of God or children of love. I like to think of myself as a love child, actually. I'm a child of God or who is love. I am a love child. And that's our mentality should be. I am a child of God. And that name that he's given me is so important because that name's got power. You know, in closing, the name of the Lord is so powerful, and it's there's only one more important thing or powerful thing on the earth. Can anyone tell me that? What's one more powerful than the name of the Lord? No, there is. There's one more thing powerful than the name of Jesus or the name of the Lord on the earth. Let's turn there. Find out what the scripture says. It's important for you to know this. There's one more thing powerful than his name. And Psalm 138, 1 and 2. I will praise your name with a whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praises. I'll worship towards you your holy mountain and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above your name. The word of God is more powerful than his name. Because he's magnified it. He has magnified his word above his name. So not only do you have the name and the power of the name, you got his word, which is more powerful. Because he's magnified it. You find out what you want in the word of God, and you've got that. Yeah, Matthew 24 and verse 35 says this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. It's set forever. We're going to see the heaven and earth pass away. His word will still keep happening. When he spoke his word out, it does not return to him void, but it accomplishes what he pleased. We've got the word. The word was spoken. The word became flesh and dwell amongst us, and we behold him as the Son of God. Exalted his word above his name. His name is what we have to work on right now, but go and find out what you've got in the word of God and use the same together. We've got power in that name. Hey, let's stand up. I've given you enough for today. I trust you've learnt something today. You've grown in what God's got available for us. And I want to sing this song together just in closing. And I want you to understand the fullness that's available to us. Well, this is the reason why we pray. That the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would grant you, according to his riches, to be in glory, to be strengthened with might in his spirit, through his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length and depth and width and height, to know the life of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Holy Spirit, that's our prayer today, that we will be filled with all the fullness that you have. Lord, and we choose that we're going to be on this love walk. We're not going to deviate from the left and to the right. Lord, in that, there's everything we need. Lord, we run to that tower, Lord, that fortress, and we abide in that. Lord, right now our healing's there, our deliverance, our power, our prosperity, everything we have is there right now. Lord, and by your Spirit, you're equipping us for every good work. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we now proclaim a blessing that would increase, that your glory would increase in our lives. In your wonderful name. Amen.